and welcome to another Cup of Joe podcast on this Friday, August the 30th. And wherever you are, whenever you are listening to this, I wish you God's grace. I wish you God's life. I wish you God's goodness. I thank you for once again joining with me as we open God's Word together. We continue to move through ordinary time. This is now the 22nd Sunday in ordinary time. Again, this is the longest stretch from when we finish up the feast of the body and blood of Christ all the way basically until we celebrate the feast of our Lord Jesus Christ, the King. And so we're just kind of moving through the everyday, day in, day out. How do we live and move and open ourselves to the kingdom of God in a similar manner to how Jesus did in the ordinary days of his ministry and mission? Okay, so we have just taken 5 weeks outside of the Gospel of Mark, and we have heard Jesus' Bread of Life discourse, basically all of John chapter 6, virtually, excluding maybe a handful of verses. And we heard it sequentially. Well, we finished that up last week, and now we're going to go back into Mark's Gospel, which Mark's Gospel will take us the rest of the way until we get to that feast day, marking the end of our liturgical year. And we're just going to follow along. Okay, so today we're jumping back into Mark, and it's going to be chapter 7. But before we do that, we're going to hear from the first reading, which is Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 4, verses 1 to 2, and then 6 to 8. And then we'll jump to Mark. Now, Mark, it's going to be all over the place. It's chapter 7, but it's chapter 7, verses 1 to 8. Then it goes 14 to 15. Then it goes 21 to 23. So if you are following along, you're going to notice, wow, it's kind of jumping a few verses here, a few verses there. It stays on the theme, but I think they just didn't want to do 23 verses full. Because the examples, Jesus just kind of uses examples, and the disciples get a little confused in between and things like that. But we're going to get the gist of what he's saying through that amalgamation, as it were, of the readings. Okay? So, again, grateful. Thanks for being with. Let's break open God's Word. However it is you do that, my friends, that opens you well to receiving the Word of God, to allowing that Word to find a home within you, to just bring you life, whatever that is. I invite you to do that at this time, and let's break open God's Word together. A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, "Now, Israel, hear the statutes and decrees which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live and may enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. In your observance of the commandments of the Lord your God, which I enjoin upon you, you shall not add to what I command you, nor subtract from it. Observe them carefully, for thus you will give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations, who will hear of all these statutes and say, 'This great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people.' For what great nation is there that has God so close to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law which I am setting before you today?" My friends, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You can just allow that word to soak in. Just allow whatever it was, if there was, again, a word, a phrase, an idea, an image, a thought that comes to you, let God work on your heart, on your being, on your spirit, on your mind, using that, however you need to do that. Let's move on to the gospel, which is out of Mark, again, Mark chapter 7. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When the Pharisees with some scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus, they observed that some of his disciples ate their meals with unclean, that is, unwashed, hands. For the Pharisees, and in fact all Jews, do not eat without carefully washing their hands, keeping the tradition of the elders. And on coming from the marketplace, they do not eat without purifying themselves. And there are many other things that they have traditionally observed, the purification of cups and jugs and kettles and beds. So the Pharisees and scribes questioned him, "Why do your disciples not follow the tradition of the elders, but instead eat a meal with unclean hands?" Jesus responded, "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines human precepts.' You disregard God's commandments, but cling to human tradition." Jesus summoned the crowd again and said to them, "Hear me, all of you, and understand. Nothing that enters one from outside can defile that person. But the things that come out from within are what defile. From within people, from their hearts, come evil thoughts, unchastity, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, licentiousness, envy, blasphemy, arrogance, folly. All these evils come from within, and they defile." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So let's start by going back to Deuteronomy, okay? Now, Deuteronomy is the last of what is called the law within the Hebrew Scriptures. The first five books of Hebrew Scriptures are called the Pentateuch or the law. They're the heart of the Jewish people. And Deuteronomy is merely a second telling of their story. It's a remembering of their story. And so Moses is inviting them into this remembrance, okay? And he's inviting them into a remembrance of God's, not only God's action within their community, within their people, giving them life and giving them freedom, but God giving them the law, the statutes and decrees, which he's saying, listen, we need to cling well to these. Why? Because in our observance of them, that allows us to live. He says, now Israel, here are the statutes and decrees which I am teaching you to observe. He's just reminding them. These are not new. He's, again, telling them of, remember the statutes and decrees that came down from Sinai that we have been given by our God. Hear them, which I am teaching you to observe, not just hearing them, but to observe them, that you may live and may enter in and take possession of the land. That we may live. I think that's such an interesting statement. I mean, do we observe these commandments and therefore life awaits for us in the kingdom of God? I won't say no to that. But is that what we're doing, in a sense, jumping through this hoop by observing these commandments and these rituals that our God gave to us through Moses on Sinai, and therefore life awaits? In one way, I'll say that's true, but I don't think that's the way Moses nor Jesus are talking about. I think he's saying, listen, observe these decrees and these statutes. Live them well. Don't just hear them. Because in doing so, you, in a sense, oh gosh, what's the word I'm looking for? You fall into, you grasp onto the very essence of who you are. And in saying yes to who you are, You are fully alive. What do I mean by that? I mean, brothers and sisters, that you and I are made in the image and likeness of God. We are made not just for freedom, although we are. We are not made just to love, although we are. We are made to live and move and have our being in a manner similar to our God, because we carry the very Spirit of God, the very intention of God, the very life of God within us. And we are made to, in a sense, be that life of God in the world. And we are most fully alive when we live out of that space of our godliness, of that God self within us. Now, don't hear me wrongly. I'm not saying we are gods. I am saying we carry the presence and the life of God within us, because that is true. And when we live out of that place, we are most alive. And here's the best part, brothers and sisters. When we live out of that place and we are most alive, it is life-giving to others. And it allows them to be seen and heard and loved in whatever situation it is in which we find them and they find us. And they become more alive because we are living out of that space of the presence of God, which brings life to this situation, to this reality, to this relationship. That's what it is, brothers and sisters. The law is not inviting an external observance that one can do separate and distinct from our being. They are one and the same. And when we live out of them at the base of who we are and what we're about, it is life-giving for everybody. Okay? Fast forward now to our gospel. Because this is what Jesus is giving the dickens for to the Pharisees. Now remember, I'm gonna be honest here. The Pharisees weren't this group of bad people that were bad actors within the Jewish community that you could look at them and say, oh gosh, they're awful. Why would anybody follow them? No, they really were a people who were trying to move the Jewish people forward and bringing some wonderful thoughts and ideas to them. What the Pharisees are, brothers and sisters, are icons of you and I. That the Jewish people, that they would air their dirty laundry in their scriptures of their failures is an incredible credit to them. And so rather than us looking down on these people, we need to look at them and say, we're looking in a mirror, because they are icons for us, okay? So just so that's an important point here. So the Pharisees, what they are doing here is complaining to Jesus that, hey, your people, your disciples, aren't following the tradition of the elders. What is that? They're not washing their hands. They're not washing their jugs, their kettles, their beds, whatever it is. All this external stuff. And what Jesus is saying is, you've missed it. You came to a fork in the road, and you saw that the easier path was an external one. One that has all the outward signs of observance and looks really good to anyone who may be viewing it. Except the one, really, capital O, except the one who knows our hearts and who sees that we're not engaged. We're not living out of that God self that I talked about previously. We're living out of an external self that does all the right things, says all the right words, maybe shows up at the right places, does the right actions, but isn't engaged with them on a level of the heart, on a level of the soul, on a level of the spirit, on a level of the self. He says, and in doing so, you become hypocrites. You're acting in one manner, but your life, your heart, what you really are about is not present in that. And brothers and sisters, if that is not a mirror for us, I don't know what is. And that doesn't mean, brothers and sisters, that I'm pointing a finger at you any more than me. I think at our best moments today, you and I will live out of our heart. And we have yesterday, and we will tomorrow. But I think the challenge of Jesus to the Pharisees and the Jewish people is a challenge to you and I today, saying, which fork in this road are we taking? Are we taking one that engages all of us, or just something that engages a part of us? And are we giving God the easiest part of us? Are we giving others in our life that easiest part of us rather than our fullness? Because that's what God wants. That's what those around us want. It's what God deserves. It's what those in our life deserve. What are we giving? You know, and Jesus goes on to say, hey, listen, nothing that enters in. I mean, listen, Jesus isn't against washing hands before meals. He's not against blessings and things like that. I would think Jesus were here today. Now, again, this is my supposition. Throw it out if it's not helpful or you think I'm wrong. I think if Jesus were here today, he would look at the sacraments of the church and think these are wonderful things. Wonderful things. But I think we can go through them in a way that is far from our hearts. I mean, being confirmed. I would use baptism, but, you know, for most of us, that was something when I was, gosh, I think 13 days old, 14, 15 days old, 2 weeks old, whatever it was. I suspect that's probably true with you as well. And so necessarily my heart wasn't there because I wasn't fully there, even though my body and my being were. And I thank God that God knows that and doesn't, grace is free and covered us with grace at that moment. So anyway, that's why I start with I mean, confirmation or going to reconciliation or the sacrament of Eucharist or matrimony or whatever it is. How fully present are we when we go to those sacraments? Do we give ourselves fully? Did we? Will we? I mean, I'll be honest. I think the easiest ones are the repeatable ones, Eucharist and reconciliation, I would hope. In matrimony, our heart was there, so maybe a bad example. But, I mean, sometimes my heart is fully present when I open myself to that, but sometimes it's not. And I don't think Jesus would reprimand the sacraments. I mean, again, that outward example of an inner reality, right? It's an outward action that shows what's going on within, that desire, that hunger that we have. But I think there's sometimes Jesus would give me the dickens to say, Joe, your heart's in it. And sometimes he'd give me the dickens, your heart's not in it. It's not the action itself. It's not washing hands that's the problem. It's saying, listen, it's from within that this, I mean, this is an affair of the heart. And as we move about these actions, not just sacramental ones, and ritual ones, but ones in our life and our day-to-day, in kissing our spouse hello or goodbye, in greeting our loved ones, how present are we? Because God is saying, listen, this love affair with me, this love affair with the community, it invites all of us. In fact, for it to give life, remember that example, to not only us, but to those who are involved, we need to be acting out of the fullness of who we are, out of that God self, out of that place of the heart, that place of the spirit, that place of the soul, that place of the presence of God, where God resides. And to the extent, brothers and sisters, that we do that, we know it, right? We've all felt it. We felt that life, and others have been affected by that life. That's the challenge today. It's as simple as that. Is today we're going to be presented, I don't know, a dozen times with a fork in the road. Which fork are we going to take? You know, I didn't read out of the second reading. I'm going to end with this, but it's the epistle of James, and he says, you know, he invites us and challenges us, be doers of the word and not hearers only. And that's really what Jesus is challenging us. Be doers. Allow that that to engage us fully, not just parts of us. But the, he says religion that is pure and undefiled, okay? Those actions that appear and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to care for orphans and widows in their affliction. That's what it is, right? It's caring for those who have no voice. It's loving those who may not be as lovable. It's giving them our fullness of attention, not just the external part. You know, there's one point in Matthew, in Matthew's gospel, where Jesus is giving the dickens to the Pharisees in a manner not dissimilar to what we heard in Mark today. And he says to them, he's like, listen, you, and he's calling them, you know, whitewashed tombs and things like that. But he says, you swallow the gnat, or excuse me, you strain the gnat and swallow the camel. You're doing all the wrong things, he says. But rather, you should observe the things that you're doing, he says. But you're missing the weightier matters of the law, which are justice and mercy and faith. I think that's the foundation of where Jesus and Moses are pointing us. Don't settle for something that is external and weightless. Our God invites us into the weightier matters. He invites us into the deep end of the pool, which is justice. Which is why I think we can go to James and say, this is about widows and orphans, those who have no voice. How do we help them feel seen and heard and loved today? How do we help them have that voice? Justice and mercy. You know, it's how Francis can say, the name of God is mercy and faith. How do we act out of those spaces, out of that God self? Because we know when we do that, to go back to Deuteronomy, then others will look at us and say, what God is so close to their people is that one? And what people are so intelligent that they have such a just law? We can see that. And that becomes an icon of who God truly is in this world and what God invites us to. Okay, I've gone on plenty. Let's take all this to prayer, brothers and sisters. And so we begin in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The second sorrowful mystery, the scourging at the pillar. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of thy mercy. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, bless you again. Thanks for being present with me. And may your week be filled with every good blessing. Be well, and Godspeed.